Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
And welcome back for hour two of this evening's show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in and joining us in the live chat room. If you're listening and you didn't know this, we do have a live chat room. We've got quite a few people that show up there to talk, share their ideas on the paranormal. We invite you to join us by going to darknessradio.com, click on the Listen tab, and there you'll see a button or a tag that you can click that says Chat Live here. And please join in on the chat. Have a little fun with the rest of the group in there. They're always willing to welcome a new face. We were supposed to have Zach Baggins on for our show this evening from the Ghost Adventures crew, and unfortunately he was unable to be on with us, but I've got the information he was going to share. First of all, just so you know, for those of you that may have missed it, I believe it's coming up here on the 18th. They're replaying Ghost Adventures on the Sci-Fi Channel, so check your local listings. You've got to watch the Ghost Adventures. That is amazing. You will get to see the footage that they collected from Virginia City at the Old Washoe Club and from the Goldfield Hotel, which brings me to my next announcement. The Ghost Adventures crew is very proud to present a much-anticipated live ghost hunt at the Goldfield Hotel in Nevada, as seen on the Ghost Adventures on the Sci-Fi Channel and one of the scariest places on Earth on Fox TV. They're going to go back to the Goldfield Hotel, which if you watch the special, it's the hotel that the guys were locked into for the night and supposed to spend the night. And I don't want to tell you what happened, but if you have not seen it, you got to watch it. You too will want to join us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this is the cool part. Goldfield Hotel, it is taking place February 8th and 9th. It's a two-day event. And the guests for the event are the Ghost Adventures crew, Zach Baggins, Nick Groff, and Aaron Goodwin, paranormal researcher and author Janice Oberding, and Darkness Radio's Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis. We're going to be out there. I hope that you'll join us. You can go to our website. We're going to put up a link for it right after the show so that you can click on it and sign up to be a part of the event. It's going to be amazing, and I hope that you'll join us. Again, it's taking place on February 8th and 9th, 2008. You'd fly into Las Vegas McCarran Airport. It's about a 2.5-hour drive, but it's well worth the trip to get out there. It is literally out in the middle of nowhere. Tell your loved ones your cell phones will not work. You are stuck with the Darkness Radio boys and the Ghost Adventures crew and Janice Oberding. There is no screams for help. Like they said in the old Aliens commercial, Tim, in space, no one can hear you scream.
You will believe that two radio guys can poop their pants at will.
Yes. Yeah. At the Goldfield Hotel, everyone can hear you scream, but nobody can help you. That's going to be the new tag phrase.
I like it.
All right, so that is the announcement. You can go check that out. I also want to mention, as we said, the Queen Mary link is up on our site. Tickets are moving fast. We've already sold over 100 of the tickets available. Those are going to be gone probably within the next 2 weeks. So if you're interested in joining us back out for the 24th through the 27th of February at the Queen Mary, it's going to be a great time. And we only have, I think it's less than 20 tickets left for the Palmer House Hotel, the very haunted Palmer House. And I have some cool information about that. There's still been some crazy activity going on just recently again, and we have one of our favorite guests, Ed, is going to be out there, and he's bringing his thermal camera.
Really?
They all get to experience what he finds, so we're going to try to get some footage in a couple of the most known haunted locations. I also want to make one quick mention. Next week, you're going to want to tune in. We're going to be talking about angels, and we're also going to be talking on how to protect yourself during paranormal investigations. because I've had something follow me home from the last trip, Tim.
Really?
Yeah. We're having some scary crap go on at our house. So
me coming over to your house for dinner is not scary crap.
Well, that's true.
Okay.
But we are going to be talking about that and talk about how you can protect yourself and make sure that this doesn't happen to you. So make sure to tune in next week. It's going to be a great show. But right now we're going to finish up our Holzer back-to-back hour. We've got Alexandra Holzer, who is joining us for the second hour here. We'd like to thank her very much and welcome her to the Darkness on the Edge of Town.
Glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
I appreciate you coming out here and joining us. This is going to be an amazing opportunity, and I really want to thank you very much for helping us set up the interview with your father and having him as a part of the event as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That was great. And I do want to mention that Alexandra is going to be joining us out at Eastern State Penitentiary coming up in May. She's going to be coming out and doing a talk about her life growing up in the paranormal. And you have a new book coming out this spring, correct?
Actually, I do. It's available, as you know. The publisher always gets it first. So SchifferBooks.com will have it in January, and then everybody else is listing it for February. So it's really not that far off, as this month is coming to a close. And it is. It depicts my backstory on both parents, which is very unusual, because when one writes a memoir, it's usually basically based on one parent or one family member. And this one is both. So.
Well, that's, first of all, the name of the book is?
Growing Up Haunted, A Ghostly Memoir.
And this tells the story of your growing up with, I guess, probably one of the most influential people in the paranormal field. He broke down all the barriers in the paranormal field, and growing up with Hans Holzer had to be quite an experience. So I'm sure people are going to be enthralled with that, just to pick up a book about that. But as a child, how old were you when you realized what Daddy did for a job?
Well, you know, the funny part was, you know, there's always a joke, what does Daddy have a job, you know? Because when, you know, you have to understand the backstory is growing up in the upper west side of Manhattan, and growing up in the 70s and 80s, there was a lot more money, and things were a lot easier back then, and I went to prep schools, and we were, you know, able to have that kind of lifestyle, even though both parents struggled for it. They felt that was a better place to put my sister and I. And so basically, you know, all the kids' parents had office jobs, if you will, and my father, his office was at home. And back then, that was really a very kind of new thing, to have an office at home. And so he never went to the office parties, you know, and I talk about this in the book. I mean, his office party was at the Witch's Ball. And that was very normal for me, so I didn't think twice about it. So we never thought he had a job. We just thought he came and went. And things just happened in the apartment and when we traveled, and it was just kind of normal to have things, you know, move and feel like somebody's watching you and have these weird people come over. Some were actors and actresses. Others were, you know, witches and mediums. And it was like, oh, hi, how are you, you know? Oh, I can see your life. Let me tell you, that was normal.
Now, so. You said that you even had actors and actresses that came over. Were they involved in the paranormal, or were they looking for help on movies and research for roles that they were doing?
It's funny, because at a young age, you don't really, you know, pay attention. You just want to get the heck out of there and go back into your room. But with Hans Holzer, no.
Right.
Come meet my daughters, he would say. And so you're brought back into the living room, and I'd be the one stuck, because my sister, who was 8 years older than I, could get away with it, where I wasn't smart enough to say, oh, no. So, you know, I kind of paid attention to half of it. I think they were in awe of him. I think because he was on TV a lot, you know, in the 70s and 80s, that he attracted so many from different walks of life that they all had an interest in the paranormal, which is what's going on right now.
Right.
It's really interesting because, like Dan Aykroyd, he's a very well-known comedian, actor, writer, and he is so into the paranormal. And, you know, people just don't put the two together, because you're famous for something that you can't have an interest in something else. So this was going on for forever. It's just, you know, with my father, because he, like you said, he did break the barriers and he pioneered it. They, I think, felt comfortable around him, and they knew they could be as kooky as they wanted to be, because so was he.
Right.
So they were there for many things, to hear the ghost stories, for, you know, fresh off the press, the books that just came out. He told it live at home in our living room. And so I think, you know, as they sat there, he entertained them, and I think for a change they could kick up their heels and enjoy it. Instead of entertaining people, they got entertained. So
when you were dealing with all this, though, I mean, growing up, I understand that it was just par for the course. You were just used to the paranormal being a part of everyday life. But yeah. was there an age when you hit it and you were kind of embarrassed by the fact that Dad was a ghost hunter?
Yeah, I was embarrassed because I didn't have any friends. And it's sad and it's funny at the same time. Now I look back, I'm like, oh gosh, you know. But the problem is when you're growing up in the city during that era, and you go to these prep schools, and you know, your parents are very artistic and creative, and the other children's parents are very business-oriented. It's hard to kind of crack a joke, and they don't, you know, crack a smile. You're standing there like, uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the word got around that, oh, my God, her father chased ghosts. We're not going there, you know. It was a lot of that. So it hit me probably around age 10 and 11 where kids kind of get cruel. And it still happens today. I have four, and my oldest is almost eight, and I hear the stories. And so it's just, you know, tradition. And so nobody wanted to come over. And it hit me at that point where in about fifth grade, I was not very popular. And I was always, you know, out of the box kind of a thinker and, you know, always wanted to do things differently. And I attribute that to my father and my mother because they were both, you know, different and creative. And that wasn't really part of the norm. You know, that wasn't considered okay, you know. So
was it fun for the kids to come over to old man Holzer's house on Halloween, though? Is that the time it was okay to visit?
You mean Holzer Museum?
That's right.
Yeah. Better than the mortuary. Yeah, you know, it was for a while. I think it's really funny when you see the expressions on the kids' faces when they'd walk in and they see the voodoo masks on the left side and to the right my mother's haunted oil paintings, and they didn't know what to make of it, but they thought it was so cool, you know. So it was just kind of like they wanted to. But, you know, after they went home and told their parents about what, you know, Holzer's apartment looked like, it just, that was the end of that.
That was it, huh?
Yeah.
Well, great. Now I know what my poor kids are going through.
Yeah, oh, forget about it. I mean, and, you know, and a father who never had much hair to begin with, he looked like Count Dracula. I could not win. I just was like, forget about it, you know? So.
As long as he didn't tell the kids when they came over, I bid you welcome.
No, he did not do that, but he said, can I offer you a ghost book?
Oh, nice.
I couldn't win. I just, you know, I said, look, come into my room. My room is very cool. We'll shut the door. We'll forget it exists outside, though.
Now, did you have other brothers and sisters? I know you mentioned one other sister.
I have one. Yeah, I have an older sibling. She's 8 years ahead of me, and anybody who has children, as you know, that's a huge age difference when growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, when we fight, we're like level field, you know?
Sure.
So we can, you know. But back then, it was just, there's no comparison. She's like on planet A, I'm on planet B. So, yeah, I have one older sister.
Now, is she also involved in the paranormal?
No. She actually calls me and says, so what do you feel about this situation at work for me? Because, you see, I had a bad day. So what are you picking up for me? Because, unfortunately, I'm like the resident medium. And I didn't choose to be. So, you know, it's always been there. And, of course, I had an awakening. And that was 4 years ago when the only person in our family who passed was my mother's sister, my late aunt, who's mentioned in the book,
mm-hmm.
came back to me after 2.5 years after she passed, Earth Time.
Now, that was covered in your first book, correct?
Yeah, I did in the first book, a sci-fi fantasy for young adults. I did the forward, and acknowledgement to her because she told me to get back into writing because that's where it's going to lead to everything. And it was 2.5 years after she had passed. And I was struggling with Earth time versus their time. And when you say there, that means they still exist. And then so you have that conflict as you know, do you believe? And
mm-hmm.
So it was a long time after she had passed, and I was still grieving, that she came back and gave me that message that brought me to where I am now. And so
now, let me ask real quickly, being a medium yourself then and being involved in the paranormal, you just mentioned their time and our time. And we have the understanding that 100 years to them is nothing, you know, or 100 years to us is nothing to them. What is the correlation? I mean, I know we know dog years are 7 to 1. So what's dead years, I guess?
Oh, you're throwing math at me, darling. I failed math. Can we go on to something else, maybe? That's my Jewish impression. Okay. Well, my father was Jewish. My mother was Catholic. He converted. There's that story. I don't know what I am. I'm just existing. But, yeah, it's basically from the impressions and from what I've gone through personally and from growing up with my father and recently, I might add, being educated by him at 87 years of age. Oh, my God. I have to tell you my turkey story.
Okay.
Because he's a vegan. Basically, it's true. There. Once you cross, and this is when we cross well, meaning that we're not a ghost but we're the spirit because a ghost and the spirit is one and the same, which is a huge debated topic. it's nothing to them. I mean, when I connected with my aunt, first I couldn't believe that this was happening, because my whole life I was pushing away the paranormal, because I knew things were happening to me, because I had seen things that didn't make sense to me and I could validate them. It basically is nothing for them, because once you cross over, well, they come back to help and protect and guide you when needed and when chosen, as well as many other souls. It's free. It's like a free-for-all. It's almost like they're moving around. And if you go into the topic of reincarnation, and if you go into that and believe, if they choose to come back, they will. And so during her time here, it was something where I could not, I would say to her, I don't understand. It's been 2.5 years. Why now? Big question. And you hear other mediums talk about their experiences, 7 years, 10 years, 20 years, 1 year, the next week. You can't, there's no answer for it. All we know is that they do occupy the same space as us, because we can communicate, obviously. We have that, and today's technology, we can prove it. It's just, we can't have that answer. We have to cross to understand what that freedom is, of not having to deal with time, where on earth we're on a 24-hour schedule, 7 days a week.
Now, you've mentioned a few times here, if you pass well.
Right.
What does that mean to you, and what is a bad passing? I mean,
right.
I know
well,
what most bad passings are, because I'm sitting across from Tim as he's eating Dairy Queen. But,
hey, listen, you, Mr. Chili Cheese Dog.
No, you haven't met your match until you've met my husband. He's Italian. That's all I have to say. Watch out with the garlic. But, well, that's vampires, isn't it? Oh, that might blend into my family quite
there
well,
you go.
Actually. Well, my grandfather was the Count of Russia, so... you know, it basically is, when you go back to talking about what a ghost is and a bad haunting and a spirit, you know, if we cross poorly, we haven't crossed, obviously. So if we pass well, it means we've passed over, that we're not stuck between the world we came from and the world we're supposed to go to, or the space that we're supposed to go to. And I'm not talking about demons or things like that. That's a different range.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically if it's, you know, natural causes, if it was our time and we were able to accept it, those on the other side coming to pull us through, we can accept our passing, we can then come back freely, which is the term spirit, free spirit. Whereas if we don't, then you understand the term with ghost, which is really who you were as a soul. It's just that you're trapped and you're stuck, and there's different types. You have, which you go into your hauntings because it's a ghost. Then you talk about poltergeist, you talk about demons, which are your different ranges. Well, if you have ghosts that repeat history, that don't haunt you, per se. Let's say you have an example of a house that's haunted,
mm-hmm.
and the woman calls up the local team, the investigative team, which are everywhere nowadays.
Right.
And she's, well, you know, since
well,
my
no,
father's
right.
day,
yeah.
you know, it really, and it's amazing, and it's awesome. So she calls up and says, upstairs in my attic, my chair that I have in the corner of the room goes all the way across the room at night. I hear it in the morning. It moves. And I've taped it, and I've taped, and I've done everything, and I'm not crazy. Can you come over and check it? Then the questions, a series of questions, do you hear this? Do you hear that? What's the history of the house? What are your experiences? Do you hear voices, whatever? What happens is they find out it's a repetitive pattern of somebody who lived in that house before moving the chair across the room because they were once in there, and they don't understand they've passed. But they're not haunting her personally. They don't notice her. So they're not like a smart entity, if you will. They're not noticing her.
The residual haunting, I think.
Yeah,
right.
Like an impression. An
right.
impression. And my father calls also stay behind. And you know, basically that there's a difference. But it's still a very sad story, because they're not able to go to the ones that they came from and meet up with and to continue their work or do what people believe that they're supposed to do. So there is a difference on how we pass versus how we come back and what our jobs are in the next life, if you will. So it's there's a lot of gray areas to that.
Now, you mentioned demons. Do you believe that there are things as demons? It seemed like your father from the interview we just had doesn't believe in demons or angels or heaven or hell.
You know what? And I'll tell you something. He said that, and in my book, what I did on purpose for the readers is I took interviews 20 years apart, if not longer, and very similar questions were posed upon him, especially with Amityville. Amityville occurred in the early 70s, and a lot of these questions still popped up with him in the 80s and the 90s, and he still said the same thing, which just goes to show you the type of person that he is, that he stands to his belief. He doesn't switch to make the person that's reading it like him for that generation.
Right.
I don't agree with him here, and I'll tell you why. I was given a private story with my grandmother. She's my Parisian grandmother. She still talks like this, darling. You know, it's very hard to understand, but she talks like this. She's in her upper 90s, almost reaching 100. She told me a story when I was about 9 years old that scared me. I just, it was scarier than anything my father brought home and put in that office of his, including Eye of Newt and hanging toad feet and anything else.
Right.
She said that when she was married to my second grandfather, that at the foot of their bed one evening, this was in Lake Ronkonkoma, Long Island, something fell heavy on her feet. Now, my grandmother is psychic. On my mother's side, her mother and her aunt were all psychic. So not just on my father's side, but on the mother. And with the mother, it's inherent with the children, mostly the girls versus the boys. So we really have double whammy here. Lovely.
Okay.
So she says that she wakes up, she looks at the foot of her bed. It was just the two of them, obviously. All the children are grown, you know. And she looks, and there's an animal. They didn't have any pets. Nothing came in the house. And it looked right at her. And the best way she could describe it to me was, darling, it looked like a wolf. And she panicked. And she couldn't move. She something came over her. Like, it looked at her as if to hurt her. And then it looked at my second grandfather. And so she turned on the light, and it dissipated. And within, I think, about a couple of weeks later, he was diagnosed with cancer. And that's what took him. And so that story and her belief, being that she was in tune to, I mean, things would sit on her all the time. I've written stories about, she was friends with a very famous French chef called Pierre Frenet, who was out in eastern Long Island in the Hamptons, and did very well, was very famous, and she was friends with his mother, Betty. And that house became haunted because the mother had passed, and my grandmother was still invited to go, and overnight, the mother came back and sat on my grandmother just to say, hi, I'm here, nice to see you. Okay, so just to give you an example, this is
sure.
Her whole life. Things have sat on her, this poor woman. So when she told me that story, at that age, around about nine or ten, I knew bad things existed, and that when my father went out on a ghost hunt, it just wasn't about people who had passed or who couldn't leave, haunting the people in their space.
All right. Well, you know what? We're going to take our first break here with Alexandra. We're going to be right back, so everybody stay tuned. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show with our guest, Alexandra Holzer. We'll be back with more right after this.
The New York Times has raved about the show. The Star Tribune says it's paranormally funny. And the Biscayne Bugle said, how could they put this crap on the air and live with themselves?
I am so sorry for everything that has happened. Because in spite of what Mike says now, it is my fault. Because it was my project. Everything had to be my way. And this is where we've ended up.
Stay tuned. There's more to come from the darkness on the edge of town.
If you read Tap Star Mag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Tap's Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology in the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at tapsparamag.com.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness Monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
If it weren't for ghosts and aliens, these guys wouldn't be getting any action at all.
Yeah, baby! Yeah.
I threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Welcome back to The Darkness on the Edge of Town with Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis.
And welcome back to the show. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio. We're here with you every Sunday night. And again, please remember, if you can't listen live, you can always check out our archives. We're going to be back every, I think it's like Monday or Tuesday. Timmy usually have the archives up there ready for people to listen.
Oh, sure.
And then we've also got them now through Planet Paranormal. You can go and you can actually subscribe to our iPod.
Our RSS feed, which goes directly to, if you subscribe to iTunes, you can actually either subscribe through iTunes or through planetparanormal.darknessradio.com. Or no, darknessradio.planetparanormal.com.
Are you just making stuff up?
I'm making it up now.
You're frightening.
But you can subscribe to the RSS feed in either site.
Well, let's get back into the show. Our guest is Alexandra Holzer. And if you have more information, or you'd like more information, rather, you can always check out our two websites at hauntingholzer.com. That's www.hauntingholzer.com. It's all one word. Or you can visit Alexandra on her MySpace. And that's how we got in touch with her, and she's been a lovely friend to us since. You can go check her out at myspace.com/hauntingholzer. Now, Alexander, we were talking to you about growing up with your father being involved in the paranormal field. When did you start to realize that you had mediumistic tendencies?
I'm going to stick with the age of 10. Saying it throughout the whole show, I don't want people calling back, well, she said 16, 8, 7, what is it? Then I'm going to be a whack job like the rest of the Holzers, and I'm trying to break out of that,
no,
you know?
No, 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 not at all.
I probably just before puberty hit, yeah, you know, that kind of thing. No, I'm just kidding. My first real experience was when I went to day camp, and I met a camp counselor who was a friend of my father's, which is, like, always so weird. going to day camp with daddy's friend. Turns out she's a medium, but I didn't know at that point. And I would sit with her on the bus, and I would describe her apartment to her. And she would always look at me with this, like, smile on her face, like, okay, continue. You know, and I just felt the need to talk to her. Well, okay, I guess your room looks like this, and here's the color, and this chair goes there. And we would have these conversations, and she opened up to me. She goes, you know, you've just described where I live. How does that make you feel? And, of course, I don't know if you believe in astrology. Some people do, some people don't. Some people aren't quite sure what it is. But I'm a typical Aries. I'm right in the heart of it. And basically, I have no fear with things. I want to know, and, you know, nothing shocks me in that sense. So I said, yeah. She goes, well, I'm psychic. I have the ability to see things, and kind of what your father does, he deals with people that see things. And you've just done something that I think you have the ability to see. I said, oh, great, I can see. That's great. I won't go blind in my life. I had no clue.
Right.
So that was the first time that I went home that day, and I kind of felt, and I didn't tell anybody because, you know, as a kid, you know, you don't really, that's not normal.
Right.
You know, it's a bit off. And even back then, I felt like I was special. I felt that I had the conversation of a lifetime, and I couldn't share it with anybody. And my sister, who I had, was 8 years ahead of me, so I had that double whammy. So I really sat with that for many, many years. And then when you know, as a teenage girl, and then I went to FIT College, which is in the city, which is the Fashion Institute of Technology. And I did great there because everything went. I mean, everybody loved me, and I made, you know, best friends with everybody because I just, you know, my mother is, you know, gay, and so that fit in great because I felt very comfortable, and I said I had all the gay men loving me because they were all into fashion. And I said, well, my father chases ghosts and my mother chases women. Is that cool with you?
Wait a minute. Now, did I just... Your mother's gay.
Well, honey, if you're going to go get the book or read it, if I send it to you, it's in there. So, yeah.
Well, good grief. Yeah, but you got to understand, I haven't read it yet. This is just kind of a strange...
Well,
that's a strange revelation to hear. Oh, yeah, my parents are great. My dad's a ghost and my mom's gay. Not something you expect to hear.
It's not, I mean, there's always dysfunction in every family, but this is just a choice in life, and I think something that they were born to do. And, yeah, my father, the log line that I had come up with was my father chased ghosts, my mother chased women, and my sister, well, she chased the volleyball demon. And what that means is, you know who my father is and what he did.
Right.
My mother, the marriage had ended partially due because she had an experience, and that kind of outed who she was, and she was comfortable. And, you know, being that she went to FIT before I even knew about it, so it was really interesting that we both went to the same college, and she also went to SVA in the city, so she's an artist, obviously. And then my sister, she was a volleyball nut. And when I say demon, I mean there must have been a bazillion balls in her room. And it's in the book where my father tells me to pick up her balls, and I had to laugh at him, and he was so insulted. Because Hans Holzer doesn't like a mess. He likes order. And when I'm the one who's left to pick up the order because the 8-year-old, you know, 8 years ahead of me, sister who's out the door who can be, it's left on me to clean it up before Mr. Holzer has a fit.
But at least you're not bitter about it.
You know what? I said I was going to write Growing Up Haunted Part 2, X-rated version.
I gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah,
now,
I was very polite.
Did you have... you know, with Dad doing all this work, did you have nasty stuff that followed him home?
Yes, they did. And, you know, he doesn't partially believe in all this, but I turned around and I said to him when I was in the middle of doing the research for this book, I said, you know, Dad, I was there. And when you came home sometimes, the environment, if you will, in the apartment changed. And, you know, as you understand, the term sensitive is being used a lot nowadays,
right,
and transmedium and stuff, but this has been around for a very long time. When you're sensitive and to your environment and it's your home and you feel, you're going to notice that something's not right. And it doesn't make you crazy. It just makes you in tune with your sixth sense. And not just the movie coming out entitled that. It's really what we have that capability for. And he just would always disregard it and just say, no, no, no. I said, but you don't understand. I lived it. And he did. And he, you know, to this day, we argue. I have to get a glass of wine and walk away from him.
Hmm.
Because we can't agree. And there were some pretty bad investigations that he went on. I don't think any ghost would notice, you know, think to throw anything at him because he'd throw it right back.
Right.
You know, God forbid. You know, he would just say, excuse me? But, they still would have the tenacity. Some of them would follow him, maybe looking for something, attaching to him. Because, you know, I've heard many stories of objects coming home to people that buy something in a flea market. Or you bring something from another place in the world. You've gone on a trip, and you buy an artifact or something. And you bring it home. Things can attach to objects and property.
Right. And that's something important for the listeners that are just getting involved in the paranormal investigation side,
yeah,
of field. If you get a call from somebody who said that they've recently had activity, it's always a good idea to ask them if they've just obtained a new product, either something from a garage sale,
yeah,
an estate sale, or an antique shop, and remove it from the house for a week or so and see if the action stops.
Correct. And by the way, I just want to say thank you for what you guys do as well, because you are one of the ones that do it properly and for the right reasons, so I just had to put that in there. But, yeah, it's true. I mean, people don't realize that you can buy something that's coming from somewhere else. And, you know, it's like buying a house. When we bought our house, the first thing that came out of my mouth, now I'm pregnant with the third child, so of course it's always blamed on the female hormones.
Right,
thank you very
right.
much. I'm like, nice. The realtor looks at me, I said, this is not built on a graveyard, is it, or a cemetery or anything? She just looked at me, I said, well, they didn't forget to move the headstones, did they? She's like, what? I said, I love poltergeists. What do you want from me? I said, listen, do you know who my father is? I said, answer the question. Is there anything under the soil, ma'am? She's like, no. I said, thank you very much. I'll meet you at the closing. You know, it just, I mean, you know, people don't understand. There's ground, there's history. Just because the house is put on top of it doesn't mean the house is clean, necessarily. You really need to, as anything in life, you really have to research. Research your children's schools if you're going to go into a town that you want to buy a home. Research what you can when you're buying a product. It's just a fact of life, and it makes you a more educated individual. So
let me ask you this. Can I check one thing here? Being a medium yourself,
yeah,
we know a lot of people may not be familiar with the term, but we'll call it psychometry.
Mm-hmm.
Is like when you, like if I were to take off my ring and hand it to you,
mm-hmm,
and you get impressions from the metal, you
yeah,
can maybe pick up on things that I've seen or done in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So when we pick up something from the antique store, Alexandra, are we bringing home the residual hauntings like psychometry?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what's attached to it, or is it an actual spirit? Because one thing I've had a hard time understanding, we've had Marianne Winkowski on our show a number of times, and she's the real ghost whisperer.
Okay.
She'll tell us, like, she said, you know, one of the families, she's like, yeah, there's been this really weird thing going on in our house. She goes, yeah, there's an old man attached to, did you just get, like, a snowblower or a
wow.
lawnmower at a garage sale? And they're like, yeah. She goes, it's attached to this. Now, my question is, I don't like mowing the lawn or snowblowing the driveway when I'm alive. Why in God's green earth am I going to hang out with my stupid snowblower when I'm dead? I mean, are we picking up energy from that? Is it residual as a medium? Do
right.
you see that? Or is the ghost actually hanging out with that piece of jewelry or...
Well, these are one of the things that I'm not quite sure we're going to get the answer to. It's one of those things that until we cross over, we're going to understand why there's no time or what is time for them relevant to what we can make sense to what we understand as human beings on Earth. I just call it an impression. And for an example, my next door neighbor who I had done a ghost hunt for just because she was just going through so much, and after 2 years, I went over there finally because I had my own epiphany and going through what I said, I think I can do this. And I have a medium associate like my father. I have become Hans Holzer in drag, I'm telling you. It's like, I don't know what's going on. I have a medium, off we go. We had a crappy tape recorder and my digital. We were no better than Hans Holzer in the 70s.
Okay.
Oh, my God. So, but she came over one evening. She and I share the same birthday. And we're typical Aries. And I went right to her neck. And she's so good. She's so spiritual, and she knows me. And I said, this came from your aunt, but it's a second aunt pass. And she goes, look, she goes, yes, it did. And that, you know, where does that come from? I said, you know, I didn't ask for this. It just came out, and I am so comfortable to say it, so it came out that way, and it was validated. And I think I like the term impression. Now, whether or not the ghost or spirit, depending on the situation, because we don't know how that person passed that on that object. So you really have to go and do some investigative work on the object that was purchased. When somebody picks up that information, it's incredible. It's like getting a reading. Because, you know, we leave imprints on things. It's part of who we are. And if
right.
we come back to where our things used to be, there's a reason for it. Doesn't mean we're a ghost and we're haunting it or you. It just means it's something that once belonged to us. And if I passed, I kind of would come back and want to check on things. Sure, yeah.
Your snowblower.
Well, you know, maybe he was going back and forth. He was, you know, I have some neighbors, let me tell you.
So now, if we've crossed over,
yeah,
Alexandra, if we've crossed over cleanly,
yeah,
we have the ability to come back like that and just visit?
Oh, well, that's the whole point. If things work out okay, number six coming up, clean cross. You know, if you can do that, it just means that you're aware of what's happening and that you're not fighting it, and it's not traumatic where you're in a car accident, for example, and you have no clue what just happened because you're driving. You're going from point A to point B. It's not in your head you're going to hit somebody or somebody's going to hit you. Or worse, something falls off a bridge. So you're stunned. You're in shock. And so that's why there's that issue of not being able to separate. Some people can cross over after an accident because the loved ones are there, the guides are there to pull you over, but it's not always the case. Some are more stubborn than others. My father will be one of them, I'm telling you.
You think he's going to hang around?
He's going to stay. Oh, he's going to make the new tenants miserable. I'm telling you, he's going to bang away the cabinet doors and start the coffee pot at 2 a.m. and he's
pick
gonna
up the room. Pick up your room.
Clean it up. The volleyball demons are coming out. Yeah, he's going to be. Forget it. I fear for them. But I think that when you're a free spirit, you can come and go as you please. But you're going to go visit the ones who you love and protect. And you're going to go, and yeah, I think that's, you know, that's the whole thing of what a guide is. And it's not always somebody who's assigned to you that you don't know. Our family and friends do come back, and if we're allowed to hear and see them, or if we have a dream, or we go and have a reading, hopefully we get that message across if there's something that we need to know.
Well, we're going to have to take our second break here, so stick with us, Alexandra, and everybody out there listening, stay with us. We'll be back with more, and if you have questions, feel free to join in on the chat room. Pop them into Tim. We do have some more questions here for Alexandra, and we'll be taking some of your questions when we come back.
Don't you dare move. There's more to come from the darkness on the edge of town with Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts, in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Try not to fall asleep. We'll only give you nightmares. Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town.
And welcome back to the show. Now, Alexandra, before we left, you joked about the poltergeist and knowing to ask underneath the house. Now, you were involved with the poltergeist film, the re-release on DVD, correct?
I was. Oh, my God, that was such a great honor, yes.
Now, I think also our buddy Patrick Burns was a part of one of the special features.
Yeah, we teased each other on it, yeah.
That's awesome. How did you get involved with that?
It's really very funny. I don't know if many people are familiar with. There is a website called the IMDb. And my father, I had found him listed on there, and I said, Dad, did you know you're on here? What? I don't care, whatever. I said, we need to pimp out your page here, Father, you know. He's like, what? I said, never mind. So I, you know, basically went ahead, and I added myself with him as I started to try to get him back into the loop with the younger generation because he's still writing and working, and it was really just about him. It wasn't about me, and I was still furiously writing, of course, at that point. And the long and short of it was, as I was progressing with it, I had gotten an email from a production company out in Burbank to contact him about doing an interview for the featurette section because they're re-releasing Poltergeist. So I put everybody in contact, and then one thing led to another, and they asked me after, you know, I developed a relationship with them also to do this, and so I did. I went down there with all my children in the pouring rain in the minivan, no parking, brought back lovely memories of the city. I went in, I saw my father, which I hadn't seen in 2 months. He says, yeah, okay, hi, how are you? I'm like, this is lovely, let me tell you. I'm like, thanks, Dad. And we, you know, crossing the wires, and we set up, and we did it, and I was just in awe of it. And that's when I knew, by the way, that I wanted to do something with TV and film, because I don't call it being a ham. I felt very comfortable, and I knew that I was doing the right thing by trying to help paranormal awareness and spreading it, and doing it with validation, not that I'm some crazy person or that I want fame or fortune or any of the typical things that people put you in a category. I did it because I was trying to follow what my father had set out and continue his name, because he didn't have any sons, and it was a conversation we once had, and I felt the need to continue on his name, which is why, by the way, I published under his name, to keep that going. So,
let me ask you this. You know, in the paranormal field, it's been pretty much a boys' club. Always has been. You know, there's a few prominent names. You come to mind, Lorraine Warren.
Yeah.
You know, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, who's written over 30 books in the paranormal field.
Yeah.
And not meaning to be rude, that's about the extent. You know, I mean, you get your Sylvia Browns and people, but I don't really consider them in the paranormal field. They're just they're mediums and psychics. Not putting that down, but it's a different realm. What now? Do you see a change? I mean, from when your dad did this, it was definitely the boys' club.
It was, and it's, and you know, and I know, I'm sure there's a lot of people going, it's a man's world. I don't think it's that. You know, I think women in the paranormal is few and far, and I'm not quite sure why yet. I'm working on it.
You know, I had a theory, and I'm wondering if this is it, because women have always been kind of tuned into that realm.
Naturally.
Mm-hmm. Right, that when men do it, it's like more of a, holy crap. Because he's this big, strong, strapping man actually believes in this stuff, and most women seem to believe to be sensitive.
Oh, come on, there's Woody Allen out there that do this. Come on now.
That's true, but I mean, for the most part, women, you know, I mean, it's the male thing, and it's. Do you think it's more because it's the bravado of the male that, you know, that they're seeing this and able to stand up, and they're always the protector, so they're looked at a little bit more seriously than the women? Because I don't know a woman that doesn't feel that they're sensitive somehow or related to the paranormal in some way.
Oh, how have a few kids, they won't be sensitive. They'll just be pissed.
I got six kids, Alexandra. That's enough, I think.
Yeah. No, I just, and I'm trying to change that. I'm trying to change that. And I think why I was born to my father is to bring out women in the paranormal. And I'm not just saying it as a gimmicky thing. I believe it because it's true. Because I've done the research, because I've seen it, and I've been very cautious. And the people I go and I, you know, and I see who's out there, who's doing what. And I think they're great. And I think some are not validated and some are, obviously. And as with anything in life. But there needs to be a female voice along with the male voice, as with anything in life.
And we're seeing, you know, more and more, and we're doing our best with our live events. That's why we invited you. I mean,
well,
you know, it's such a an honor to have you be a part of it.
I promise to do well, and I promise to bring in all the, let me tell you, I'm prepared.
All right.
Q&A session.
Well, we've also got Linda Zimmerman that's been a part of this, Pamela Heath,
yes.
Marie D. Jones, who was just out at the Queen Mary. So the women are out there, and man, they're scientific and thoughtful and deep with what they're sharing. So I hope that people will start to open up their eyes and minds and start to see this a little bit more than just the boys club of America for the Paranormal Society.
No, they will. And thank you for doing that, because you guys are great for doing it. It shows that you're just as sensitive. And that aren't we all just the same, really, at the end of the day? I mean, you know, I mean, our pants might be a little bit different, but I mean.
But we all like to slip into a nice lavender bubble bath.
That's more information than I needed to know.
Let me talk to you, because how much time do we have left here, Tim? I don't want to cut her short.
Quite a bit.
Okay, good. All right, good deal. Now, what's exciting about this book, and the last thing I want to hold off, is I want you to tell us one of the spookiest stories that you've experienced in your paranormal work. But let me just make this quick mention. This is really exciting, because your book and your father's book are coming out just around the same time from Schiffer, correct?
Correct.
And it's the first time that a tandem deal like this has been done, father and daughter's books being released in the same publishing house at the same time.
Yeah, as far as I know. And if anybody comes through and tells me different, that's great. I'll respect it. But as far as I know, yeah, I mean, we're 50-plus years apart in age. He had me when he was 51. So, yeah, wow. Schiffer and I spoke for a while about this, marketing the two of us together. This might be his last title. People don't understand that. This is a big thing, and yeah.
Well, tell us again real quickly the name of his book.
It's The Spirit Connection, and it's basically about how the other half intervenes with our side. So it's their side and our side, and how the two of us kind of work together. And it's more of a lighter book, basically bringing people together and understanding spirituality. Because he's also, as much as he's a scientist, he's also a spiritualist. You know, and as a 100% vegan, where he won't even eat eggs because they come from a chicken, which is an animal. So this man has devoted his life to animals and protecting them, and, you know, in that sense, not financially or anything like that, but, you know, that also there's a spiritual side, just to be good to everybody on Earth, you know, in that sense. And everyone.
And then is his book coming out in January and February
around
the same time? Okay.
Same time.
All right, and then your book, of course, is coming out, and again, it's called Growing Up Haunted?
Yes.
All right, and people can pick that up. Now, it'll start for sale. People can go to Schiffer. Is it Schiffer.com to start pre-ordering it?
Yes, it's Schifferbooks.com, and they can always type in Google Schiffer Publishing, and they'll find them. They're a niche publisher, and they've been out for 30 years. And the reason why I went with them is because my father knew who they were, so I knew right away, okay, this is good, you know.
And then will it be in Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com and everything as well?
It's currently listed there. The cover and the description of both books are not up there until January. Of course, this takes 3 months, but
sure.
Yeah.
And then we're going to have you out at our event in May, and you're going to be out there doing a book signing as well for us, correct?
Yes, and I will donate proceeds. I'm going to work that out with the publisher and try to get proceeds to the, we were talking about the restoration as well.
Right, for help. Eastern State. Great, well, that's awesome. Thank you very much.
Yes.
And then now let's talk with this. What do you hope to achieve with your book? What are you really hoping? I know you said that you want to carry on your father's work, but
right.
What is it for Alexandra that has nothing to do with Hans? What do you want to have happen in the paranormal field that you want to be a part of?
I just, you know, I basically want to do something that's different and fresh and innovative for the next generation with the tools that we have now that he didn't have, and with my branding of humor, because what I think is lacking is a little bit of sense of humor in the fact of what we call life.
I agree.
I mean, if you can't laugh at yourself and the fact that, you know, okay, you know, today we're having a bad day and every curse word comes flying out of your mouth, you know. I mean, the paranormal is no different. And under the paranormal umbrella is what I call it. There's so many topics to cover, and I have yet to experience, obviously, many of them. I haven't seen Nessie, have you lately? She's been, I don't know where. But between her and the last UFO, I'm a little bit out of the loop. I want to kind of go out there, if you will, but not being out there, because I do have a family, and I'm very grounded. And because of my children, I will be grounded, and I'm not going to go off the deep end. But it's to continue the research and to have my own way about it, and to try to be kind to everybody and to give back to society, children, animals, and the environment, and just really do good with the soul that was given to me. So,
good deal. Well, we've got about 4 minutes left. Let me ask you this, and then I want to hear your scariest story. What are your plans and goals now for the future?
I'd like to get on TV. Would be fab.
Okay.
I've written two, actually, TV shows. I've worked with a producer who taught me how to do a lot of this kind of work. And basically, it's at a production company right now, and there's another one that's going to be interested in reading it. And I'm basically pitching it. And I know a lot of people want their own shows and the whole thing, and that's great. And I want everybody to have the success that they deserve and to do the work that they should be doing.
You know, Tim and I are trying to pitch a show that's like The Simple Life with Nicole and Paris, and, you know, where we would go try to haunt people's houses. But we'd wear the short outfits and the cleavage shirts like Paris and Nicole did. So.
Honey, that's a nightmare.
Oh, you've seen our pictures.
I have luscious man cleavage.
That's true.
Yeah. I heard that about you. I'll be over there in about 10 minutes, yes?
Woo-hoo!
But, you know, everybody, it's almost like, you know, so it's very competitive, but, you know, I'm a writer. So I've written the show. So I have a kind of a background thing to that, and I also can see how it can be produced. So I get that. And it's mostly because of the environment I've grown up in. So I have a little bit more of an understanding on what it takes to have that be produced and what it goes into to have it, you know, something that can make it work. And what's branded in my family. It's more of a family kind of thing where it has to make sense and be validated and it has to work for the people that want it. So that's my goal for the new year, and it's, you know.
And we wish you all the luck in the world, and I hope as things progress, you'll keep in touch with us and let us know about it.
Absolutely.
And let me know, we've only got about 2 minutes left in the show. What's one of the scariest things that's ever happened to you in the field?
Basically seeing something fly by me. As an adult, seeing things fly by me and also things walking by me.
Now, are you talking fly by you like UFO fly by you or books flying off the shelf towards you?
No. When I was a kid, I've seen things. And, of course, I was during probably within a few years of the UFOnauts, which my father wrote that came out, with the Hudson River, which is in New York, across the Hudson River from New York to New Jersey, which it connects. I've seen things in the air, but, of course, at that age, you know, that goes out the window, ha, 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 no pun intended. Personally, I'd be more in the ghost realm because that's really what was more around me and more, you know, understandably validated was I've seen orangey, yellowish lights flash by me, and I've seen apparitions walk around me and pass through rooms and things like that, and I've had things sit on my bed as well and couldn't escape it.
Now, have you seen the creepy floating heads or the disembodied body parts floating around your room? Any of that weird stuff? Anything grab at you, scream at you, punch you?
Well, I've seen parts of people, but that's because they didn't have enough energy to show themselves, and I wasn't, you know, able to sit there long enough to say, "Hey, who are you?"
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right, good deal. Well, you know, if there's anything else you'd like to promote, go ahead and tell us. And again, people can reach you and contact you by going to hauntingholzer.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And they can also check you out at myspace.com/hauntingholzer. And you do actually answer your email there.
I do. You know what? And if I ever became well known, you know what? It wouldn't matter. I still do it because I have 4 kids and you're always doing. So what's the difference? And it's
what do you mean if
back.
You became well known? You're the daughter of Hans Holzer. You're already born into being well known. Now
but you know, it's kind of like a woman thing. We've been talking on that, right?
That's so true.
It's a female thing. So.
Working your way up. I understand that. Well, congratulations on the second book coming out. And again, for people, if they want to pick up your first book, give them the name of the book and where they can find that.
It's Lady Ambrosia, Secret Past Revealed. It's 1 of 3, and it's sci-fi fantasy for young adults ages 10 on up. And they can, again, Barnes & Noble's and Amazon.com, same thing. And it's on the website, so they can click and they can read if they want it. They'll read the synopsis.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Alexandra. We look forward to seeing you live in May.
Yeah.
And getting a chance to meet with you and have you do a book signing there for us.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to you back then. Thank you very much.
Dave.
And
thanks
again
guys.
For helping us get Hans on the show this evening as well.
Absolutely. You take care, both of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And Bye-bye. Remember, everybody, tune in next week. We're going to be back talking about angels and ways to protect yourself when doing paranormal investigations, because it doesn't always end just at the investigation site. You also have to protect yourself so that you're not bringing little nasties home. Next week, I'll share my story about what's been going on at my house. So please, tune in. Remember, the Darkness on the Edge of Town is here with you every Sunday from 10 to midnight Central Time. And if you have ideas on shows, give us an email at dave@darknessradio.com or tim@darknessradio.com. We'll do our best to accommodate and get those guests on. Again, we appreciate you listening, and we'll be back again next week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.